KPCW News Time now, 8:15. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, two more days of early voting. Then next Tuesday, Park City residents can cast their ballots for a new mayor and choose two of four candidates running for city council. One of those is incumbent Cindy Matsumoto. She joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
So let's talk first about money, how much you've spent so far. I know your disclosure was due last night.
Right, so I probably have the record here. I've spent, as when I turned in my disclosure yesterday afternoon, I had spent $850, but I went to and bought a ad in the newspaper, so I'll probably spend, that was another $300 or so.
And that's it, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I had the good fortune of overbuying signs the last time, and so, and plus picking up all of our signs, so, you know, I had my signs, and that's the biggest expenditure.
All right. But only an ad or two, huh?
Only one ad. That's what I did last time.
Okay. And I think you actually ended up with the most votes last time around, didn't you?
I believe I did by of 100 or so.
All right. So you're getting out word of mouth,
walking door to door. That's the most fun about campaigning is going door to door. I enjoy that. You know, so just finding the time to go door to door is very important to me.
All right. I think you've called yourself, what was the historic chick on the council?
Well, I
was
did.
Was that the way you put it?
I guess there's that show on TV now, the History Chicks or something. I don't know what it is. But so, I've always been deeply involved with the Historical Society and Museum and very attached to Old Town and Main Street.
Yeah, so given your stance to preserve and protect the historic district, how have you done that over the last 4 years?
Well, you asked me that before, and it was an interesting 4 years. You know, we're just getting to a lot of, I guess, you know, government does move slowly. We're just getting to our historic, our detailed historic inventory, which I really pushed for. We have we're doing a detailed plan, so we know exactly what it is about each building we need to save. And we're doing that on Main Street also, do a very detailed analysis of the buildings. And then what we were really waiting to see is how the historic guidelines worked. And so in the first part of the first couple years, or even the first 3 years of my term, there was very little building going on, and maybe one or so homes were done, and still homes are being done under the old guidelines. And so I think going forward, what we really need to do is to make sure that the historic guidelines are getting the results that we want, are getting the right scale, size and scale that we want, and just preserving homes the way that we want it to. So we need a review of more than just one building. I know the Historic Preservation Board has done a review of a reconstruction, but I think we need to do a detailed review of several buildings, and I'd like it to come to council so that we can make sure that we're getting the results we want with our historic district guidelines.
Okay, so but of the few that have been done, what do you think about them? I mean, have we preserved the historic nature of Old Town?
I wasn't very happy with a garage that was done on King Road. It just looked like it was a reconstruction. And I'm never very happy with reconstruction. None of the old boards are saved, and it just looks like a new garage. I think there was something that we could have done better. And so I know the Historic Preservation Board reviewed that one, but I'd like it to come to City Council so we can really figure out when we do a reconstruction that sometimes needs to be done because the buildings are in such bad shape that we can still have a building that looks historic.
Well, certainly during the last 4 years, the council attempted to reduce the mass and scale of historic homes. Again, went back to, well, let's just see how the 2009 guidelines work. But that certainly was shot down based on public input. So, I mean, is that something you're willing to take on? I mean, because if you wait too long, there's not going to be, I mean, you know, everything's going to be redeveloped. And it's
right. And, you know, what that temporary TZO was really about combining the lots. So if there was a making two lot, making one big lot out of two small lots, or taking partial lots and putting them together, and that allowed a bigger home to be made under the guidelines that we have now because it's a bigger lot. And so what we were really looking at is, should we be combining lots? Not because the combining of lots allows for bigger houses. And that's the issue we were actually looking at. And people were concerned about that. The public was concerned about that. I think, we've had that, we've actually put some stipulations, the Planning Commission has and the City Council has, when we have combined a lot, to keep the house down and not be able to make a maximum one. Without changing any of the ordinances, we were able to do that because they have to come to us for a plat amendment.
So the historic Park City Old Town lot is 25 by 75. So should we even be talking about combining lots? I mean, I know that there are some houses platted on more than one, but...
Right.
They're
well,
still small houses.
They're still
small. They just have bigger yards.
Right. Well, my daughter has a house on two lots, and I think her house probably goes over part of the second lot. So when she would go to do a remodel, she needs to do sometime before the roof falls in, her plot would have to be combined into two lots before she could do anything on that, just because we don't allow lot lines to go under a building. So I would look to keep smaller lots sizes in Old Town. I think that would help with the size and scales of homes.
All right. Also, as one who supports historic preservation, how do you feel about the whole A-frame discussion? I mean, should the city be protecting them, or is that way past the history you're trying to protect?
Well, we're primarily, a mining turn-of-the-century town, and that's our primary historic story about Park City. But, we certainly have a new story about the history of skiing here. And, I proposed, and the council agreed, not just me, but the council agreed to inventory them and see what we have and see if there are some incentives we could give A-frame or pregnant A-frame homeowners that would help them preserve their home if they chose to. So that's the direction we're looking at now, rather than a stick, a carrot.
Mm-hmm. So you think, though, that we should try and keep some A-frames in the landscape?
I've been working with the Historical Society on the home tours for the past, 12 years or whatever, and I've been trying to get an A-frame on the home tour because, people just enjoy – it's part of the funk of Park City. So, we have the history, but we also have the funk of Park City, and we don't want to lose all that funk either. So I think it is important, and if a resident was willing to preserve their A-frame, I think that we could look at ways that we might be able to help them.
But you don't think the city should tell somebody that they need to preserve
their... Not at this time, no.
All right. Tell me about an issue that you have initiated over the last 4 years and the outcome of that. I mean, it seems like we have a lot of council candidates kind of taking credit for issues. And I mean, that are handed to you by the staff, and you just kind of vote yay or nay on them. I mean, what's something that you've brought to the table and say, you know what, take care of this, and then...
Well, I think the historic preservation is, because I think that the inventory is something that was, is needed. And I brought it to the table and hounded them until, until it was, money was appropriated for it. I also came on with the council wanting more open space. And, it wasn't a hard sell. But it certainly wasn't an important sell because of the times. It was a good time to buy open space, I think, because of the economic downturn. Everybody forgets, 4 years ago, things were a little rough. But, just trying to figure out ways to get more open space is something that I really, brought to council, too.
You've said it's important that Park City retains its middle class. How would you accomplish that if reelected?
Well, I think it's something we have to keep working on. It's the two ways that you can do that is to create housing and to create jobs that have a livable wage. And so there's been a lot of talk about the middle income housing, and I think we've supported that in Green Park. I think that'll help with some middle income housing in town, and we've also supported that out at Park City Heights, and I'd like to support it in the Lower Park Avenue redevelopment area also. I think there's a place for some middle income housing there. And then the biggest thing is I think bringing jobs good paying jobs to Park City. I think that the city is working on, and I think we should expand our initiative for broadband and to bring broadband across the whole community. And you know, high-speed internet is becoming an economic and a social and an educational necessity, and we need to have it available. And so the city should see how they can facilitate that, and that will help our businesses that are here. It'll help bring new businesses here, and it'll help people be able to start up businesses here.
When you say facilitate, are you saying pay for?
I'm saying I think we need to explore it. You know, I don't know what our role will be in it, but we need to bring our community members together, such as the school district. There are students that are don't have access to internet at all. And so they've got the computer from the schools, and then they're going in. Their parents have to drive them to the parking lots of the schools to be able to have a hotspot to do their homework. That's just not right. And I'm sure, and they also have a need for faster internet for their CAPS program, which was their internship program for the high school students. And I'm sure the hospital, we need to bring the hospital in and see what other needs they might have, and then the business community, and just, you know, there's lots of people that work out of their homes. We need to find out what we actually have, what we can do as a city, because our state legislature won't allow us to be the provider, but what we can do. So we need to explore all those things, and I think if we're ready, if we're, have a very, good system for broadband internet, that we would be, we'll be able to attract jobs and keep the middle class here.
Yeah, great idea. But again, who pays for that?
Well, I think when we have this committee together, we will have to have the providers in there. So the providers already are paying for some stuff, and they also give us a franchise fee to come into our town. So there is money available, and hopefully we'll be able to use some of that.
Yeah. You say you've developed the city's quality and quantity of water. Don't you think you ought to add, though, that that was done by quadrupling our water rates?
Well, it did. Our rates did go up, but, we are a high mountain desert type of environment, and, water costs money. And, I think... I felt it in my pocketbook this year also. I can just say that, we also offer a lot of initiatives to help you conserve water. You can get a water audit from Weber Basin, and they can tell you if you're overwatering. I cut back to four days a week myself. I mean, every fourth day myself to conserve water and to cut my bill. But, water costs a lot in the West, and we have a very unique water system with so much water coming out of the mines with, it needs to be treated, and it needs to be treated even if we don't use it, because we have to treat it to release it to the streams, and that costs money, and so our water rates did go up.
All right. During last week's candidate forum, you said your answer was it depends, when you were asked whether or not you would continue to support funding of a multi-million dollar transit center and parking structure at the base of Park City Mountain Resort, even if Park City is no longer operating a resort there. So what does your decision depend on, whether or not to commit to that funding?
Well, we had begun talks with Park City Mountain Resort, and they have some exciting things planned for the bottom of their resort. And I think we need to see what the resolution of this lawsuit's going to be, and see who our partners are going to be, and see if the Park City Mountain Resort is still going to go forward with some of the like their Woodard School I don't know what to call it. It's flipping and skating and turning all around and stuff. So I think that'd be great, and that will bring more people to the base of the resort. So we just need to clarify all the players' plans before we commit to anything else.
All right. How do you think you're different from the other three candidates? Why should somebody vote for Cindy Matsumoto?
Well, I have had 4 years of experience, and I've really gained a lot of knowledge and experience with all the issues that come before Park City, and they are very complex, and hardly ever, Leslie, are they a yes no like you tried to make us answer. it usually is, and it depends, and we have to evaluate the you know, the impacts on the residents and the money. And we have to evaluate all that. And I think, you know, I'm a good listener. I work well with others, and I have a good understanding of the issues. And I think my experience would benefit Park City going forward.
All right, Cindy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's Park City Council candidate Cindy Matsumoto. KPCW News Time now, 8:30.